Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 48 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Sarah Mead.
So right now we are in the proposal period.
A local nonprofit is accepting grant applications.
A Moorhead funeral director is concerned about Lexington hospitals.
A new app is fighting the opioid crisis.
A local hospital is adding services as another close by closes its doors.
A bill proposing change to public assistance program cleared the House.
In sports, district tournaments tip off tonight across the 16th region.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain tonight with a low around 45. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
A local nonprofit organization is accepting grant applications. Rowan 365 collects $1 per day from members in order to pool resources and provide funding for nonprofit and civic projects. This year, they hope to award grants for projects focused on the development of engaging, accessible, and equitable public places and green spaces. Committee member Beth Reynolds says last year was the first one where grants could be awarded. All three went to education-focused projects.
The group that won first place was the Doves Group, and they were able to purchase over, I believe, 50 backpacks filled with supplies for kids that come through their shelter. Another group was from Moorhead State, and they were able to fully pay for several adults in their programs to get their GEDs. The Gateway Advocacy Center also won a small award amount, and they were able to turn one of their rooms into a sensory-friendly room.
The deadline to apply for the grant is March 9th at 5 p.m. For more information, visit the Bluegrass Community Foundation website at bgcf.org/Rowan365.
The woman who helped get Americans safely to space died this morning at the age of 101. NASA's Katherine Johnson was a mathematician, trailblazer, and champion of STEM education for women and African Americans. The life of the Presidential Medal of Freedom recipient was depicted in the 2016 film Hidden Figures. Moorhead State University's Star Theater director Chanel Varani says Johnson was first titled as a computer.
That was the role that many women had served when they were in science and engineering fields, not just at NASA, but at other institutions as well. And they were assigned these rather mundane tasks, but critically important tasks of doing calculations that were then later done by the actual computer. But she just had a gift. She was mathematically inclined and had one of the smartest minds of her generation. And she was critical to getting the first American into space and putting the first American on the moon.
Astronaut John Glenn would not launch unless she was the one to calculate the codes for launch. Katherine Johnson was 101 years old.
A funeral director is speaking out about a problem which he says is making tough times even worse. John Northcutt is the director and embalmer for Northcutt & Son Funeral Home here in Moorhead. He tells WKYT a lot of bodies come from UK Hospital and that calls to pick them up come much later than they should.
We have had several instances where it's taken in excess of 6 hours to have the remains released to a funeral home. But other healthcare facilities, usually 1 to 2 hours after a death occurs.
In a statement, UK spokesperson Jay Blanton said the hospital is reaching out to Northcutt for a dialogue about the issue. Northcutt says he has big expectations for the meeting, too, because he knows the hospital is capable of great things.
With the announced closure of Our Lady of Bellefonte Hospital, King's Daughters Medical Center aims to help patients that will be without a care facility. WMKY's Michael Green has a story.
King's Daughters Medical Center will be opening several new facilities, including a nursing unit, outpatient facility, and an urgent care. These locations will hire physicians who had practices at Our Lady of Bellefonte, as well as nurses. These plans have been in the works, but the decision to close OLBH's inpatient units and emergency department by April 30th has intensified their schedule. President and CEO of KDMC, Christy Whitlock, says they have extended job offers to hundreds of people and will start onboarding them in March. Officials from KDMC will also meet with Greenup and Carter County leaders to discuss EMS care, including supplying first responders with AEDs and other equipment. For WMKY News, I'm Michael Green.
A new app was launched in January to help fight the opioid crisis in Lexington. The app is called Full Energy No Drugs, or FEND. The app is gaining popularity with a rising number of downloads. Community coordinator Divine Kamara tells WKYT his team has goals to grow the impact of the app.
We are working on getting a curriculum to be able to work with the school system, but right now it is just a gamification app, so they are doing it by choice. If they apply that, we'll just have to see. But just seeing them excited about an anti-drug movement is a beautiful thing. We're hoping that it can make a lasting impact in the future.
FIN includes names of street drugs, drug mixtures, and how to recognize if a person is overdosing.
The Kentucky Colonels are suing for their identity. Here's KNN's Will Clark.
The Honorable Order of Kentucky Colonels have filed a lawsuit against Kentucky Colonels International, a group the original Colonels claim is trying to hijack its trade name and cause confusion. The Honorable Order of Kentucky Colonels say that KCI is seeking donations through recently created social media pages and a website. KCI also claims to be recognized by the IRS as a tax-exempt organization. The Honorable Order of Kentucky Colonels says that's not true. The lawsuit is seeking a temporary restraining order against KCI, along with a preliminary injunction against them. I'm Will Clark.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
Governor Andy Beshear is taking nominations to Kentucky University boards and other higher education boards. Vacancies will be considered during the governor's post-secondary education nominating committee's next meeting. Boards include the University of Kentucky and University of Louisville Board of Trustees, Board of Regents at Western Kentucky University, Kentucky State, Murray State, Northern Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky, and Morehead State, Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education, Kentucky Community and Technical College System Board of Regents, Kentucky Higher Education Assistance Authority Board of Directors, Kentucky Higher Education Student Loan Corporation Board of Directors, and the Kentucky Authority for Educational Television. Applicants can apply online or call the governor's office. The deadline is February 29th. Full-time employees of public institutions of higher education can't be nominated, and anyone with a relative employed in higher education can't serve on that board.
A bill proposing changes to Kentucky's public assistance programs cleared the state house, and now it's headed to the Senate. The goal of House Bill 1 is to shift more people off public assistance and into the workforce. The bill would prohibit the use of cash assistance benefits to buy certain items or make purchases at certain places, restrict the use of SNAP benefits when purchasing certain beverages, and ban withdrawing cash using an electronic benefit transfer card, among other provisions. Democratic lawmakers objected to parts of the bill. They described them as harsh towards the working poor. According to LEX 18, critics also say fraud rates in public assistance programs are low. Supporters of the bill say it provides a balance between compassion for those in need of public assistance and accountability to prevent abuse.
A Lexington group is pushing for a bill that targets access to care for eating disorders. According to the National Eating Disorder Association, 20 million women and 10 million men in America will struggle with an eating disorder at some point in their lives. Unfortunately, the ones living in the bluegrass have little to no options for help in their battle. National Eating Disorder Association coordinator Paige Isaac will be in Frankfort this month pushing for increased access to care, and in Lexington pushing for awareness with the second annual walk, The Walk, which will be held on April 25th.
There are people who are going to be there in remembrance of someone, people who haven't survived their eating disorder, and people who are still actively struggling with their eating disorder. So honestly, the emotions really can range. But at the end of the day, I think it's a great, uplifting experience for everyone.
Senate Bill 82, an act to create the Kentucky Eating Disorder Council, is something that Isaacs sees as a big step towards affordable and accessible care within the state. The bill passed in the Senate and is now set to be heard in a House committee.
Kentucky State Police are seeking a retraction from a civil rights attorney who defended Patrick Baker, a recipient of a controversial pardon from former Governor Matt Bevin. As WUKY's Josh James reports, KSP argues the lawyer made misleading statements about state troopers involved in the case at a December press conference in Lexington.
At the press gathering, attorney Elliot Slozar blamed Baker's conviction on reckless homicide charges on police corruption and misconduct, pointing specifically to state detectives Brian Johnson and Jason York.
What they should really be looking at is whether the people with badges in this state should really have those badges.
Now, KSP wants a federal judge to reprimand Slozar for the comments, which they say were inaccurate, inflammatory, and could prejudice potential jurors. Lawyers for state police also want Slozar to issue a press release retracting the statements. WDRB-TV reports Slozar is denying the allegations and plans to respond in court. Baker's case received extra media scrutiny after it was revealed his family had raised tens of thousands of dollars for former Governor Bevin. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
The man accused of robbing two Bourbon County banks with a toy gun back in December has now been indicted by a federal grand jury. 35-year-old Sheikh Gaya now faces two charges of bank robbery, punishable by up to 20 years in prison if he's convicted. The indictment alleges he held up Kentucky Bank on December 11th, getting away with $5,600. While authorities were investigating the first robbery, police say he allegedly robbed Bluegrass Federal Savings and Loan, getting another $2,200. He's currently being held in the Bourbon County Detention Center.
The reward for information leading to arrest in the case of more than 20 horses shot and killed near a strip mining site in Floyd County has increased. According to WYMT, $23,000 is now being offered to anyone who has information leading to an arrest. The horses were found back in December along U.S. 23 near the Pike and Floyd County line. Donations were being pledged to the Floyd County Sheriff's Office to help find those involved. The original reward was set at $500. The Kentucky Humane Society Equine Care Agency, as well as concerned equine donors, stepped up to offer reward money as well as adding $5,000 to the reward. Since the incident, three horses have been found and rescued from the herd by Dumas Rescue and transported to KHS Willow Hope Farm in Simpsonville for rehabilitation. One of the horses, Knox, was placed up for adoption by the Kentucky Humane Society on February 12th.
A McCracken County escaped inmate with Paintsville ties is on the run after Kentucky State Police say he walked off a work release program. Troopers with KSP tell WYMT that 35-year-old Daniel Bell Jr. of Paintsville was last seen at Brooks Stadium. He was part of a work release program and left around 5:40 p.m. Sunday evening. Troopers believe he stole a maroon 2000 Chevrolet Silverado pickup truck. The truck has a Kentucky license plate of 055VVX. Troopers say Bell may be heading towards Paintsville, but they are not for certain. Bell is 6'2" and weighs 218 pounds, has blonde hair and blue eyes. Anyone with information is asked to call the Kentucky State Police Post 1.
Taking a look at your region's extended forecast, Tuesday, cloudy with a high near 57. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 42. Wednesday, rain mainly after 8 a.m. with a steady temperature around 43. Wednesday night, cloudy with a low around 25. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 34. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 23. Friday, a slight chance of snow between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 35.
Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's 49 degrees in Inez and Grayson, 50 degrees over in Ashland, 44 in Lexington, 45 in Winchester and Mount Sterling, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 48 degrees. On our feature segment today, we bring you Our Island Universe.
Alan Shepard was the first American in space, launched into space on May 5, 1961, on board Freedom 7. Dr. Sally Ride was the first American woman to fly into space when she was part of the Challenger space shuttle that launched on June 18, 1983. So who was the first African American launched into space? Dr. Mae Jemison. She became the first African American woman in space when she was part of the space shuttle Endeavour that launched on September 12, 1992. I'm Chanel Varani, director of the Star Theater at Morehead State University's Space Science Center and host of Our Island Universe. Mae Carol Jemison is not your typical astronaut. Her mother taught elementary school English and math in Chicago. Her dad was a maintenance supervisor for a charity organization. However, even as a young girl, she always believed she would become an astronaut, but she also wanted to become a professional dancer. At 14, she tried out for the part of Maria in West Side Story. She didn't get it, but got a role as a background dancer. When she was deciding whether to go to New York to go to medical school or become a professional dancer, her mother said, "You can always dance if you're a doctor, but you can't doctor if you're a dancer." So at the age of 16, she went the other way and enrolled at Stanford University. She graduated in 1977 with her Bachelor of Science degree in Chemical Engineering. In 1981, she earned her Doctor of Medicine degree from Cornell Medical College. During that time, she also took modern dance lessons at the Alvin Ailey School. She even later built a dance studio in her home and produced several shows of modern jazz and African dance. In 1987, Mae was one of 15 candidates out of nearly 2,000 applicants that was accepted into the astronaut program. Dancer, chemical engineer, medical doctor, Mae Jemison was the first African-American woman launched into space and continues to be a pathfinder and role model for all Americans today. Our Island Universe is produced by WMKY in cooperation with Physics, Earth Science, and Space Systems Engineering at Morehead State University, home to the Ronald G. Eglin Space Science Center. Learn more at morehedstate.edu/startheater.
It's 4:48 and 47 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Sarah Mead and Keneally Roberts, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this rainy Monday afternoon. Jonathan Burton has a look at sports right after this timeout. Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center, presenting the Tedeschi Trucks Band in concert 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 25th. Award-winning vocalist Susan Tedeschi and husband Derek Trucks, a 15-year veteran of the Allman Brothers Band. Grammy Award winners, the Tedeschi Trucks Band, on tour supporting their latest release, Signs. The Tedeschi Trucks Band at the Mountain Arts Center, 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 25th. Tickets and information online at macarts.com.
District action begins tonight across the 16th region. For WMKY Sports, I'm Jonathan Burton. The Viking girls will face off with Bath County tonight in the opening game of the 61st District Tournament. Rowan already has two wins over Bath County in the regular season, with the final 64-52 victory being at Bath last Wednesday. Head coach Matt Stokes says his team is ready to put some new moves on the Lady Cats.
I think we started seeing a lot more zone here the last couple of weeks of the season. So we put in some zone plays that we think are going to help us out against them. They ran a lot of zone last week on us, and we didn't do a very good job of running our offense. So we put some new sets in that I think will get us open for some shots and, you know, get the ball in the hands that we have to have it in to get some good-looking shots.
Tip-off tonight in set for 6 p.m. Taking a look at other girls' action tonight across the 16th region, Menifee and Fleming County will face off in the nightcap of the 61st District tonight at Bath County. That game is set to begin at 7:45 p.m. Elliott County is hosting the 62nd District Tournament. West Carter and Morgan County will face off at 6 p.m., while the host Lady Lions welcome East Carter at 7:30 p.m. The 63rd District Tournament tips off tonight at Greenup County. Lewis County meets Raceland in the 6 p.m. game, and Russell and Greenup are set to tip off at 8 p.m. Finally, over in the 64th District Tournament, Ashland Blazer meets Fairview tonight at 6 p.m. The winner will advance to the championship game with Boyd County on Wednesday at 7 p.m. We'll have scores from all of tonight's matchups tomorrow on Morning Edition. The 61st District Boys Tournament kicks off tomorrow night at Bath County. The 23-7 Round County Vikings will face off with Menifee. The Wildcats stand at 11-19 on the season and 1-5 in district play. Round head coach Sean Thacker says even with two wins over Menifee this season, his team can't expect an easy win.
They got, I think, seven seniors on their roster. You know, some of these kids have been playing forever. They all shoot the ball extremely well from the three-point line. They've had a really good season, and it's not going to be a cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination. You know, our kids will have to come ready to play and, have to be in the right mindset, especially on the defensive end, because they do pose a lot of problems.
Tip-off tomorrow in Owensville is set for 6 p.m. Bath County will face off with Fleming County at 7:45. In other boys' regional action this week, the undefeated Ashland Tomcats meet Rose Hill Christian tonight in the 64th District Tournament. Tip-off is set for 7:30 p.m. The 62nd District Tournament begins Tuesday in Elliott County. West Carter faces Morgan County at 7 p.m. And over in the 63rd District, Greenup hosts Lewis County Tuesday at 7 p.m. Morehead State baseball redshirt junior left-hander Corey Conway turned in a strong performance in the final game of Morehead State's sweep of Norfolk State over the weekend. It was Jess Conway's second career start. After giving up a few hits early, MSU head coach Mick Aoki says Conway was able to settle in and find his groove.
Did a terrific job of keeping them off balance. He was able to command all three of his pitches, his fastball, his curveball, and his changeup. And he was, you know, kind of throwing them in every count. He did exactly what the type of pitcher that Corey is needs to do to have that type of success.
Morehead State opens the home portion of its 2020 schedule this weekend. The Eagles welcome Southern Illinois for a three-game series. First pitch for Game 1 is set for 3 p.m. Friday. For the first time in program history, Morehead State Women's Golf will compete in back-to-back match play events, returning to the format for the Oyster Shuck match play event. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
The two-day event hosted by the Citadel tees off Monday and Tuesday from Patriots Point Links on Charleston Harbor in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. The Eagles entered the event as the number 2 overall seed in the 8-team field, being joined by Appalachian State, the Citadel, Coastal Georgia, Gardner-Webb, North Carolina A&T, Radford, and USC Beaufort. Morehead State opens the event with a first-round match against number 7 seed Coastal Georgia. In total, the Eagles will play 3 matches across the duration of the event, with 2 matches scheduled for Monday and 1 for Tuesday. For WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
With just 3 games remaining in the regular season, 11th-ranked Louisville travels to Tallahassee to play number 8 Florida State tonight. The Cardinals lead the ACC. The Seminoles share second place with Duke. Head coach Chris Mack says Florida State won the last meeting, beating Louisville 78-65 last month at the KFC Yum Center.
They're going to pressure the ball. They're going to switch everything. They're going to extend their defense all over the floor. And we've got to be able to get the shots we did in the first half against them and get better ones than we did in the second half against them.
Tip-off is at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. 10th-ranked Kentucky plays at Texas A&M tomorrow night. Western Kentucky hosts Louisiana Tech on Thursday. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife is offering a reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons who poached two bull elk in Knott County. Officials are offering a $4,000 reward for information on those responsible for the poaching of the two animals on February 20th in the Ball Creek area of Knott County. To provide tips to Kentucky Fish and Wildlife, call the department's tip line at 1-800-25-ALERT or KSP in Hazard at 606-435-6069. The League of Kentucky Sportsmen and Safari Club International are donating the reward. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Jonathan Burton.
Support for Morehead State Public Radio comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball opens their home schedule hosting Southern Illinois this weekend. Softball opens their home schedule hosting Dayton on March 11th. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell sharply as the number of coronavirus cases outside China surged, stoking fears of a prolonged global economic slowdown from the virus spreading. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 1,031.61. at 27,960.80, the S&P 500 was down 111.86 at 3225.89, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 355.31 at 9221.28. And this was the Dow's biggest point and percentage point drop since February 2018, and the Dow also gave up its gain for 2020 and is now down 2% for the year-to-date. The S&P 500 also had its worst day in 2 years and wiped out its year-to-date gain as well. Coronavirus-impacted names led the way lower. Airline stocks Delta and American were both down more than 6%, while United was down over 5%. Shares of casino operators Las Vegas Sands and Wynn Resorts both dropped over 5%, and also MGM Resorts was down 5.4%. And chip makers, which are highly leveraged to the global economy, were down broadly. NVIDIA shares were down 7.1%, while Dow component Intel ended the day down 4%, while Advanced Micro slipped 7.8%. Apple and its suppliers also took a hit, with shares of Apple down almost 5%, and Skyworks Solutions and Qorvo dropped more than 1.8%. And the benchmark 10-year note was very much in demand today, and the buying of the 10-year Treasury note drove the yield down to 1.37%, pushing the key rate close to its all-time low. Over the weekend, South Korea raised its coronavirus alert to the highest level, with the latest spike in numbers bringing the total infected to more than 800. And outside of Asia, Italy now has been the worst affected country, with more than 130 reported cases and 3 deaths. In the commodities markets, oil was down 4%, finishing at $51.22 a barrel. Gold was up 0.7% at $1,663.10 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down 3/8, or I should say the stock 600 index was down 0.3%. And in Asia, markets were down, although not as bad as the United States, with the Nikkei down 0.4%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.8%. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down $1.06 at $42.15, Kroger down 2 cents at $30.29, CSX down $1.50 at $78.06, Marathon Petroleum down $3.24 at $55.89, and PPL was down 51 cents to finish at $35.11. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Taking a quick look at an event coming around the region, the Morehead Theater Guild will hold auditions at the Round County Arts Center for the spring production of Motherhood Out Loud. Auditions will be held Monday, February 24th, that's tonight at 7:30, and Tuesday, February 25th at 6 p.m. For more information, contact Diana Reeder at 784-5669. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Michael Green, Jonathan Burton, Rachel Turner, Chaz Jenkins, Sarah Fashipe, Cody Robinson, and Keneally Roberts. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Will Clark, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Morehead State University's Star Theater Director Chanel Varani. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sarah Mead and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.